Thank you for subscribing to HawkeyeDrive.com, your stop for Iowa football and men's basketball content. I'm Brendan Stiles. We're pleased to be back this week with our regularly scheduled weekly chat here with Gary Dolphin down at Carlos O'Kelly's in Iowa City. Just got done hosting Hawk Talk with Kirk Ferentz. Gary, how did you enjoy the Saturday away from the booth?
I loved it, Brendan. I watched, I think, five games, including went to the University of Dubuque Loras game, the inner-city battle, the Key City Clash, they call it, Saturday night up at the Rock Bowl at Loras College, won by Loras. Good football game, 14-6. I mean, I covered Iowa Conference football for a lot of years, and I see this week both Central and Co are ranked in the top 10. I know most Iowa football fans understand how good a league the Iowa Conference is, and so it was a nice break for me. I watched Michigan State, Michigan. I watched South Carolina, Alabama. I watched Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the battle for the axe. So, you know, I never thought I could come to appreciate a bye weekend, and I don't do much. I'm not out there banging around every week, but I think the weather had a lot to do with my improved outlook. When it's 75 degrees and sunny on your bye weekend, that's pretty nice. I even got a little golf in.
With we're just about at the halfway point here with Iowa's season being five games in. How would you assess, now that you've kind of had some time to think about it, how would you assess how the season's gone and where do you think this team can go?
You know, about as I expected. Now, and I'm not talking record here, whether they're 4-1 or 5-0 at this point would mean very little to me. I mean, I don't get caught up in the national championship run and, you know, can they run the table? I look at the development of the players, and I think the offensive line's a little bit ahead of where I thought it would be. The defense has played exactly like I thought it would, and that's very good. The running back situation, nobody could have predicted that Brandon Wager would have left the team or that Joel Hampton would have torn the other ACL. But I think given what's happened there, Adam Robinson has been Herculean. I think Coker and Rogers will get better, and I think the bye week probably helped them. The wide receiving core has performed, I think, level par. I think DJK has been as good as advertised. I think Marvin McNutt needs to and will take his game up here in the next few weeks. I think he has to. Ricky Stanzi has been terrific. Defense has been outstanding. Special teams, other than kick coverage, have been really good. And so, you know what? I'll take 4-1 and approaching the halfway pole of this horse race any day.
Hey, just as a quick follow-up here, because you mentioned DJK, he's 67 yards away from breaking Tim Dwight's receiving yards mark and 10 catches away from Kevin Casper's mark. I'm pretty confident in saying he'll probably break the receiving yards mark this Saturday. Where would you, I don't want to necessarily say rank him, but how does he compare to some of the other Iowa wideouts that you've gotten a chance to see over the years?
I think he compares very favorably. You know, he reminds me a lot of Quinn Early. Quinn Early, I thought, was a terrific downfield blocker. DJK, he gets so much credit for his pass-catching ability and for his route running. I don't think he gets near enough credit for his blocking downfield. I mean, he's a tough guy, and to think he was a high school quarterback. So that tells me he's really worked at his game, because the last time I checked, there aren't many quarterbacks that like to block. And so he's made himself into a good blocker. And I think he jostles with us in the media a lot. He tries to pull the shades over our eyeballs and get us to believe that he's something that he's not. But he is a practical joker. And to me, I always like a football player better if he's got a sense of humor, a personality that's right on the edge. And DJK is all of that. But not only is he athletic, not only is he fast, not only does he run good routes, but he's a tremendous downfield blocker. So he is the total package. He's going to get a chance at the next level. And the other thing, the other component that I love about him is he's so unselfish, because when he was asked to go back last year and return kicks, he'd even return punts if you asked him. At Ohio State, to do what he did on that stage, get that game tied with a 100-yard, roughly, kick return for a touchdown, I think it speaks volumes about the character of DJK. And so he's a good guy. He's one of the guys. And I think he's only going to improve. You're right. To think that he'll leave Iowa as maybe the, numbers-wise, the all-time leading receiver in Iowa history, or the best receiver in Iowa history, speaks volumes when you consider the company that he's in, the guys you just mentioned, Danan Hughes, Tim Dwight, Kevin Casper, Khalil Hill. That's a mouthful.
And now you have Iowa this week going up to the Big House to face Michigan. Obviously, all the talk is about Denard Robinson. And I know Coach Ferentz, at his press conference yesterday and even on the show tonight, described him as explosive. What stands out to you about Denard?
He's elusive. I think Denard is probably, and I haven't seen every team or every athlete, but you name me a better gifted athlete in college football than Denard Robinson. I don't think I've seen him, and there's some good ones out there. But this guy, his athleticism belies, I think, his overall ability. I you know what, I think, and I say this without criticism, I don't think he's there yet football skills-wise. I mean, he's a true sophomore. He's a young guy. He's still trying to figure the game out from a football perspective, but he covers up so many ills or so many negatives, potential negatives, with his athletic ability. I mean, he was third in Florida his senior in high school in 100-meter dash, 10.3. I'd like to see the two guys that finished ahead of him. You know, people might find this incredible. He was the 188th rated high school football player his senior year in high school.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, he wasn't even a top 150 player. He was ranked 30th or 40th in Florida. Now, I know Florida turns out a lot of good players. My point is, football skills-wise, he wasn't that highly rated. And yet Rich Rod, looking for a guy, the next Patrick White, a la West Virginia, took a chance on Denard Robinson, and I think Denard is better for it. I mean, he's a good guy, a wonderful student. He's what you like in a student athlete, and he's fearless. That's the other component that I really like about him. Now, the Hawkeyes need to contain him. They need to, as Kirk said tonight, keep him inside and keep him in front of you. That's easier said than done, but I think Iowa has the defense to do it.
Just as a quick follow-up here, you talked about his ability and how he kind of compares to Pat White. Would you say that that's a more legitimate comparison, or do you kind of go with the same thoughts that Ferentz and his coaching staff, which have been he's comparable to Randall L. from Indiana?
No, and I apologize if you misunderstood me. I didn't say he's Patrick White. He's certainly not nearly as big as Patrick White.
Yeah.
I think Rich Rod is hoping that he found the next Patrick White. No, he compares much more favorably to Randall L., without question. Similar in size, similar in style, and he likes to get to the edge. He likes to get to the boundary line and then make something happen. When you look at Michigan's numbers, there isn't much there to gloat about offensively until you get to Denard Robinson. I don't want to say he is their offense, but he makes everybody else better on the offensive side of the football. And that's where they stumbled last week. Michigan State had a good defensive game plan, and as I like to say, Michigan State is Iowa in a different colored uniform. I think Iowa goes in there this weekend. They try to do the same thing that Michigan State did: contain the guy as best you can. Maybe take a little wider angles with that front four. But a Norm Parker defense is not going to change anything for Denard Robinson or Tom Harmon. It doesn't matter. They're going to play that base 4-3. Keep everything in front of you. Make Michigan drive the field and hope that the young guy makes a mistake. That's exactly what he did three times last week against Michigan State. And it flip-flopped momentum on a couple different turns. Now, I think Michigan State was good enough to win that game straight up, Brendan, because of the running game. They rushed for over 200 yards. And when you can run the football like Michigan State can, and I'm not saying Iowa's running game is there yet, but I think Iowa's running game is pretty good. There's no doubt in my mind what they're going to try and do. Iowa wants to run downhill Saturday, control the clock, because as you know, the best defense is to keep their best player off the field. And I think the Hawks look to that type of game plan, and then defensively don't change anything. Just be alert, stay in your gaps, get after him, keep him inside. Don't let him get outside of you. That's where he's lethal, when he gets outside the box.
Just a couple of quick points here. On the show tonight, Ferentz mentioned that Jeff Tarpinian was going to be traveling with the team, although on the two deep, Troy Johnson was listed as a starting middle linebacker. What would it mean for them to have Jeff back in there, considering the injury that he was dealing with?
Well, it means everything now. And you know, I always try to read between Kirk's lines. When he says Jeff's making the trip, that tells me that he's still he's not nearly 100%. Mm-hmm. And that don't be surprised if you see James Morris run out there and start a middle linebacker on Saturday. Now that's me thinking out loud. That's he didn't tell me anything between breaks. But it's good to have Troy Johnson back because at least you got some of that depth back. Tarp is probably available for maybe third down. I mean, the thing that makes Tarp invaluable, and again, Morris did a great job against Penn State, is that Tarp, you know, the middle linebacker calls all the defenses, and just to have Tarp on the trip, I think what Kirk is saying is he will really help James Morris and Troy Johnson this weekend if he can't play. So that's what I take out of that.
And then with the kicking situation, Daniel Murray is practicing with the team again, but he said that Mike Meyer was going to be handling kickoffs and all the kicking duties. Do you see it being that way the rest of the season, given what Meyer's proven up to this point?
I do. And again, this is me talking, and I love Dan Murray. I think he's been a godsend for Iowa in the kicking game the last.
Well, yeah, I mean, you just think about the Penn State game 2 years.
Well, he's won a number of big games for him, or his field goal kicking has won a number of big games. But, you know, the guy has not been in a game since, the week before the season opener. And I think as long as Michael Meyer is consistent, and he's going to get better every week, he's got a strong leg. He's been there every week. I think Daniel Murray is a safety valve and a great fallback, as is Trent Mossbrucker. But right now, I think it's Mike Meyer's job to lose.
And my final question here, besides the obvious, which is stopping Denard or containing him, what do you see kind of being the big things that Iowa has to do in order to come out with a victory? I know you mentioned maintaining like the time of possession battle and, you know, controlling the clock.
Well, staying with Iowa's defense, Michigan always has athletic, big receivers. And that's what makes Denard Robinson even better. If he can get outside the box and run around and buy some time, then those big athletic receivers have a chance to clear the Hawkeye defensive backs. And that's not good. So now I think the equalizer is Iowa's pass rush. I think they'll get pressure on the little guy and force him into maybe making throws sooner than he wants to make. But you don't want to have Michigan's receivers run around in center field with their arms up in the air and say, hey, throw it to me. Because Michigan's receivers make things happen after they catch the ball as well. So that's the other component offensively. I have no doubt Iowa will stop the running game. Michigan's running game, for whatever reason, has not been there this year, and hopefully it's dormant for another week. For Iowa offensively, you have to have some semblance of a run game because they play that unconventional defense. They like to line that nose tackle right on the nose of James Ferentz, and that, whether it's James Ferentz or Brian Ferentz, that has caused Iowa problems in the past, that 3-4 look when it's really a 4-3. And you know what? They've given up a lot of points, Brennan, but you and I both know Michigan always has wonderful athletes on the defensive side of the football. So the Hawks need to establish the run. That will make Rick Stanzi very successful in the play fake, the play action rollout, because if there is an Achilles heel, it's Michigan secondary. They've had a lot of injuries back there, so they're playing a lot of young guys. I think Iowa can score a ton of points on Saturday if they establish, just show the run game, and A-Rob gets 75 to 90 yards like he did against Penn State.
You can listen to Gary call the game with Ed Podolak on the Hawkeye Radio Network. The kickoff time is 2:30 p.m. Central. Gary, thank you very much, and we will be back with you again next week.
Look forward to it, Brennan. Thanks.